Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the old Paulding Jail with owner Shelley Robertson. So do you think that maybe he was accused of a crime he didn't commit, or...
Well, I know the story. He got picked up for a warrant from Van Wert County. He lived in Alabama, and he missed a court date. They picked him up on the warrant, and since Van Wert County's jail was full, Paulding County was holding him. He was only in jail for 5 days, waiting for his court date, waiting to go to court, and that's what happened to him. And that also happened to be the day he died was also his birthday.
Do you think he did it to himself? Or do you think there was something?
I do not think he hung himself. In my opinion, I do not think he hung himself. No. Nope.
Because, you know, there's no reason for him to end up dead. He's just there to wait for a court hearing.
Yeah, and it was not a criminal thing. He missed a child support hearing to establish paternity from a child, and there would be no reason to kill yourself over that.
No, no.
You know, he was married and lived in Alabama, had another child. He was a truck driver making decent money. There was no reason for him to do that. And when I look at everything as a whole, that would be like crazy.
When was that? Because that couldn't have been, you know, 1920.
That was in 1998.
Wow. It's interesting to me because you went to the library and you looked through those files. You never saw that information. All of a sudden, the information is there.
It was on top.
Yeah. So it just makes me think he wants his story known.
Well, I feel... That is why at those particular 2 days, the light come on. It made me come there. You know
exactly.
What I mean? It made me go to the library. Made me find papers that wasn't in there a couple of weeks prior.
You would have seen them.
So I talked to Gary. There is a jailer that haunts the building. And he worked his entire career there.
So he's very attached to that building.
He is. And actually, a lot of the people that knew him in life said he was a nice guy, and he would take the guys out and let them smoke even in the middle of the night if he was working. And that was the fella who come in on day shift. And some of these names, I really can't say their name publicly because, like, they've died too recently. I haven't got, like, permission from family. So when I say a man or something... you know why I'm not.
Yeah, I get that.
So the jailer would take him out. All the people that talk about this jailer say he's a nice guy. He makes his rounds and you know he's there. He talks. He speaks Spanish sometimes. So he is very much attached to the building. Sheriff Keeler, even though his daughter doesn't like me to talk about him, the fact remains, he's the alpha in the building, and he is very much controlling the spirit world. You know, I'm sorry he's still there.
And I think that would be strange to, you know, especially grieving a parent who's passed, and then like, but he's still haunting the jail. That would be strange.
I know. And, you know, I do nothing disrespectful in regards, and I tried to, you know, we had words one time. Well, she had words towards me one time. I'll just put it that way. But I'm like, look, I've got nothing but respect for him. He did his job wonderfully. And I'm sorry, but he's still doing his job in the afterlife. He is. And then early on, I was able to talk with this little ghost girl. She told me, she was a mystery for a minute. She told me that, I asked her what year it was for her, and she told me 1923. And I asked her how old she was, and she said she was 10.
Hmm.
And her first name was Audrey. She said her name was Audrey. And we talked and talked and talked for years. I couldn't get a last name from her. There was another woman And all of this is happening on the third floor. There was a, I would call her Miss Lady. She sounded like an older lady. And she would talk to us all the time. And I would ask her her name. And she, every time I would ask her her name so I could address her properly, that's what I would say to her. Can you please tell me your name so I can address you properly? She wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the day. That was it. Nope. I'm not, I don't want to tell you my name. And we're done now. It took 5 years to get the name of that lady.
Five years.
Yes.
And what and is her name?
Her name is Ruby.
So she just one day gave it up. She's like, she is going to keep pestering me.
She even gave it to me. She didn't even give it to me to start with. I had a private, because I rent the building out for private groups can come in and investigate the building. I'll let, I let the people do that. And I do public ghost hunts sometimes too. And so I let a private group come in and I said, hey, one of the person was psychic. I said, hey, I've been working on this lady who will likely talk to you. She's never gives me her name. Would you try and get her name for me? So this lady got her name. And so, of course, I have to verify everything because that's just what I do. And next night, I go up there by myself. Or I might have some one other person with me. Turn on, I built a Huff portal box. And I don't use an app or anything with it. Went upstairs on the third floor and asked, is Ruby your name? And the sheriff said, that's her name. And she, and then she said her name was Ruby. And I was like, why could she not tell it to me for 5 years? And she gave it to someone else. So I didn't understand this at the time. I understand it now, but at that time I had no idea. So we're talking to all through the course of the time, we're talking to the guy who hung himself. We're talking to the jailer. We're talking to a couple sheriffs, Sheriff Staley. He was a sheriff from the 1890s. We're talking to him. We're talking to some children that's in the building, a little boy named Nathan. I still do not have Nathan's last name and know his story yet. And this is 10 years on now. They just won't give it. I mean, the time isn't right, I guess.
Well, Ruby did wait 5 years, so.
Yes. It took Ruby 5 years. So we go on. Some more time has passed. And I own the building for about 8 years then. And I had been looking for Audrey's last name. And this old lady, Ruby, she sounds like an old lady. Okay, I'll just tell it to you that way. That's what she sounds like. She's elderly. It's always with Audrey. So I'm like, what's the connection? I combed every graveyard, I think, within so many miles of Paulding for a little girl who might have died in 1923 by the name of Audrey to see if I could locate who she is, because they're not telling it to me. I'm coming up empty-handed. I'm not finding anything. So then another ghost starts talking to me, pops in. And you won't believe his name. His name is Raisin Kane.
Nah.
And I thought he was being a character. And I'm like, oh, so you're a character. What'd you say your name was again? Kane, Raisin Kane. That's what he kept telling me that. And I'm like, what the heck? He's just must be a character. He ends up telling me what Audrey's last name is. It's Gully. So I type it in. I look it up. I find her. And I found out how she died. I have her death certificate. And guess what? Her older sister's name was Ruby.
Uh-uh.
Yes. I'm like, wow.
That is amazing.
It's crazy.
Did the two of them have some kind of connection to the jail that you've been able to establish?
Well, Ruby was Audrey's older sister, and she used to look after her. And so I have not yet been able to find where Ruby's died, when she died, but I'm going to guess she was old. She was an elderly lady because of that's how she sounds. But when they were younger, prior to Audrey's death, they had like 10 or 11 brothers and sisters. So I would imagine Ruby was one of the older ones. So she probably had to help take care of the kids yeah. back then. So she's still looking after Audrey, evidently, now.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
So that was just quite something when that all broke open. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is just.
That's fascinating.
It is. And then Ruby, she is. And I have the recordings of all of this. So it's just crazy. Ruby has a boyfriend. His name is Jeff. They've been dating for 9 months. Yeah.
Like in the afterlife dating? Or...
Yes. 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 See, here's the thing. When you own a building and you get to be there all the time and do session work with them all the time, you can see so much more. I'm going to tell
oh, yeah,
you,
I bet.
These spirits are living their best life still in the afterworld.
If your spirit and you died in 1920 and this spirit died in 1940, you never knew each other. You're not connected in any way. But if you're haunting the same space, do you ever encounter each other?
I got kind of something I'm working on. So I had a lot of years to be working on some of the things I'm working on. So like the sheriff looks after Audrey too. She's a little 10-year-old mm-hmm. girl in the building, you know, and there's never usually too many, what you would call inmates or something there.
Okay.
And which I thought was weird. Not that there isn't people that's done some bad things. Okay. Because there's people who've done some bad things there, but 1 year, this was 5 years ago. This is the fifth year. This is the 5th September. So 5 years ago, like the spirits know today who the president is. This past election, they told me who was going to win, and there was others to witness it, and it's recorded, and it's crazy. So I wanted to know if they were aware of the 9/11 tragedy, because that was such a national tragedy for people, you know. 5 years ago, September 11th, I went to the jail and I was going to do a special session to see if they even knew about it, if they were aware that it happened. And I had been 4 years deep in investigating just that. And what come of that is I'm starting a book because it's insane. The first year, I was just wondering if they knew about it. The first year, I found they absolutely did know about it, and they go to the memorial in New York. So then I had more questions. So the next year, I'm gearing up. I want to catch them before they go to the memorial. They take the Amtrak train. I found that all the spirits, when they're at the building, they can see and talk and communicate with each other. And they do. When they leave the building, they are in their own timelines when they leave that building. Like that building is either a wormhole or a meeting place or something, you know, it's something. I added days to it because I'm like, I got more questions. I wanted to talk to them before they left for the memorial, not just when they're coming back from it and stuff. So I found out what times each one, like Sheriff Keeler leaves at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and he drives to South Bend to get on the Amtrak. Sheriff Staley leaves at 10 o'clock in the morning. He takes his horse and buggy to the train station and gets on the Amtrak train in Paulding County. And I'm like, there's no trains in Paulding County. Let me find out where the old one was. So last year, so it's each year I find out more and more and more. So last year, and I find this out, I look at where the old train station was in Paulding County. And I looked up old path logs. I looked up where the trains left from. I looked at what times they ran. This is a lot of investigation work, let me tell you. Everything was matching. Last year, Lori Dorsey's been with me this whole ride for this whole, every year, the whole thing. And we, and I said, I found the train station where it used to be. And we're going to leave the jail at 10 o'clock, just like Ed Staley does in his buggy. And we're going to go to the train station, but we'll beat him there because we're in a car. So we go there and I set up the portal and everything. And we're at the old, the pad. You can tell where it was on the ground even. So I'm on the platform pad, turn the portal on, and I'm asking questions. We're getting nothing, absolutely nothing. And then all of a sudden, a voice hollers out from the portal. It said, there's the train. And we're like, we looked at each other, and here it's coming. It's way far down the track. I didn't even know a train still ran. It's way far down on the track. And it's getting closer, and another voice hollers out, lights up. And we're like, what the heck is this? And then I'm like, how can I get a ticket back there? And I'm like, how much is a ticket? They told me $7. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And the train, when it was close, a voice comes out and says, I'm going to miss you.
Like, wow.
But when the train got past, boosh, no more activity. So that proves to me, iron tracks, the vibration of it, frequency means something. The kinetic energy that a train makes just lights that platform up, because I've been back there 4 times now.
Well, now we are recording this on September the 9th. So 9/11 is just 2 days away. Are you going back?
I'm gonna go up there, and I don't know that I'm gonna be up there for the station again, because I thought about doing it, but it's not really necessary, you know, mm-hmm. for my research. It's not necessary, but I might, I don't know yet. But the only other thing to further my proof would be to go to South Bend, to go to the memorial in New York. And you got to be careful with that in New York, because, you know, it's really touchy for people there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You're going to want to be seeing somebody doing a freaking ghost session. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But
so do you spend quite a bit of time at the jail?
Oh, I go to the jail every week, and it's a 2.5 hour drive one way. So when I go, I'm usually there 2-3 days at a time, sometimes more. And I've been doing this for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the jail has just become part of my life.
No, I get how, and I get why. I would assume you're not just the caretaker of the building. You would be like the caretaker of all these souls.
I am protective over the building. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one with a key. I don't let anybody in there unless I'm going to be there. That's just the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
On the actual 11th, the jail is quiet. There's no activity because the spirits are not there. Mm-hmm. They're at the memorial. I leave the portal running anyway, just in case something. 2 years ago, this man starts talking over it. And I'm like, hi, who are you? And he told me his name was Ed. And I said, are you Ed Staley? No. I'm like, aren't you going to the memorial? And he told me he'd been there before. And I asked him what his last name was. And he said it was Benson. And I said, what are you doing? How'd you get here? He said, I drove. I said, what are you doing here at the jail? I said, you can be here, but what brings you here?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm waiting for my wife. And I'm like, who's your wife? And he told me her name was Virginia. And I'm like, okay. I've been working on my family tree and stuff for years and years and years, like over a decade. I tell Lori, I said, let me see if I can find their obituaries. So I typed them up. Ed had just died in June, and his wife had died the previous December. They were from Lancaster. And I'm like, okay, let's see if there's any correlation to the infirmary there, because I go there and some of the psychics go there. Maybe they brought somebody back or something, you know, with them, traveled with them or something. No connection to the infirmary in Lancaster, Ohio. So I look into the wife and look into her history. And then I happen to notice that her father, his name was Arthur Watson. And I'm like, huh, Watson is my mother's maiden name. So I said, let me just see if I find him in the tree. Sure enough, the lady is in my family tree. So I sat down with the computer and I'm like, let me just take a little look here. And I looked up Ed Staley. He's in my family tree. I looked up all the spirits that are in my family tree. And I was like really nervous. I'm like, I don't know if I want to look up the Sheriff Keeler because he's like the alpha. He's the one in charge. And like he'd never done anything bad to me or talked gruff to me or nothing. But just the sheer thing of it, because he's the boss, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know how I'll feel if he's in my tree. And Lori's just like, type it in. So I type him in, and he's in my family tree. And then I'm overwhelmed feeling. And then Lori Dorsey, who's been helping me, she came to one of the very first public ghost hunts. And she's been coming to the jail ever since. We've become very good friends. So I type in her information. She's in the family tree. Everybody who's close to me that I've met for the very first time that keeps coming to the building to help with something, they're all in the tree.
Like, I do think there are spirits that would be attached to that building. They have reason to be.
Couldn't figure out why is Audrey there and Ruby?
Because of you.
Maybe. Or their family with. And it's so weird because, like, she's in my family tree, like a very distant cousin, but the gal that she gave her name to is also in my tree, but she is a direct descendant from Ruby.
There's, like, a portal or something where your family, like, they're coming there because they're drawn to you, not the building so much.
I don't understand. And I think that possibly, like, my place can't be the only place that this is happening at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason for everything. A destiny is a destiny. I'm thinking that if some of these other building owners could invest their time, it might be happening there too.
Do you feel other people who come to the jail, you know, people who come to do a paranormal investigation, maybe a group from someplace with no known connection to the building, are they also experiencing a lot of activity, or do you feel like you experience?
A lot more? Of people get a lot of activity.
Okay. Okay.
So recently, over the past year, there is a beautiful, it is beautiful, old brick house across the street from the jail. People have rented it from, you know, somebody owned it, rented it out over years. And lots of people who've lived in that house called me over the years and said, hey, you know, this place is haunted. And a lot of them would say they see stuff going on in my building, you know, like people in the windows and different things. And I'll log into the cameras. Yeah, there's no living people in there. So, but over the past year, this couple, the house finally went up for sale. And I just love the house. I mean, if it wouldn't be for my husband's job, I would have bought the house and moved and lived in that house. I just love it that much. But yeah, 2.5 hour commute would not be good.
Yeah, that'd be a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, that'd be bad. So this couple from Indiana one day came and looked at the jail, or not the jail, but looked at that house. And decided to buy the house. The lady, her name is Ashley, such a nice girl. She emails me not long after buying the house, tells me the story that ever since she laid eyes on the jail, it's just like drawn her in. And, you know, they moved 45 minutes away from her husband's job because when she saw the house, she was in love with the house and she's so into the jail and blah, blah. She started looking into the history of her house. She's like, I've looked at all of the videos and stuff you've put out and listened to recordings and stuff the other people's put out about the jail. I just am fixated. And I have a video up that early on, I captured a woman walking in the basement, heading to the tunnel cells in the basement. And I never could figure out who she was. She would never give me her name. She's disembodied voice talk. I mean, even during public ghost hunts, but I couldn't get her name. She wouldn't give it to me. The lady that bought the house across the street, she sends me, emails me a picture. She said, "I believe this is the lady in your video." And when I looked at it, I'm like, that is definitely, who is this? Do you have her name? So now I'm just like all frantic. Who is she? Her name is Velma Loop, and she owned that house across the street previously. And she's in my family tree as well.
I was going to ask.
And so is the girl who bought the house.
Really?
Yes. I do not understand fully what's going on here. It's really bizarre. So I've had some people come to the jail and their loved ones will communicate with them there at the jail. That's why I call it the meeting place. I'm just like, ooh.
These aren't people with any connection to the jail, and the loved ones who have passed, they're not connected to the jail. They're just coming through for those people.
Correct.
Because that seems to definitely be what's happening with you there.
Like, I didn't know about the family tree thing for 8 years. Last October, we had a public ghost hunt. And this couple who come to the hunt, they had a great night, a lot of activity, and they got some evidence, and it was a great night, Halloween. And when they were getting ready to leave, I was just making small talk with them. And the guy said, "Well, I had to come because this was on my mother's bucket list. She always talked about this place and she wanted to investigate it." I said, "Oh, is your mom passed?" He said, "Yes." He said, "But even on the day she died, she talked about this building." I'm like, "What?" I said, "Come to my office for a minute. Let me see if your mom's in my tree." And she was.
Like, she wanted him to go there. Like, she wanted to go there, but it's because she wanted to go there that he's there.
Uh-huh.
And that he could maybe meet with her there.
Yeah, maybe communicate then, with her.
Yeah, and then you're all, then it's, you've connected with him. Because if she's in your family tree, he is.
Yes.
I got to tell you, Shelley, this conversation went a whole different direction.
The rabbit hole is getting deep.
Yeah, it went a whole different direction than I thought it was going to go today.
And it gives people something to work on, something to take a look at, because it's happening. These kind of things are happening somewhere else. And I think maybe not enough people are aware, or like if you just ghost hunt here or there and you go to place to place to place to place, you're not going to get that much detail. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not possible.
No. As if you are constantly researching one place.
Now, how can people get more information about the jail? Is it best and see some of the videos? Because I know you've got some posted on your Facebook page.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot posted. I just have a few as far as videos and that. I do have a few. Mm-hmm. You can look me up 187PI on Facebook. That's probably where you can access everything, because I think I've got access to YouTube and the website and everything there on the Facebook page. And that's probably the best way to connect. And if you... I'll put dates up that are available if you want to come investigate the jail, or if we're doing a public hunt, or if we're doing something special.
Yeah, because you have a lot of special events, it looks like. Some cool things. Like, I saw there was a guy you had in a while back doing a seance.
It'd be cool. And we'll be doing that again. In a couple of weeks, we've got spiritual healing coming up with Christopher Jansen, and he'll be doing a psychic gallery night. And then we've got the Witches Psychic Fair coming up in October, All Hallows Eve Ghost Hunt in October. And the activity, let me tell you, it's true. The veil does thin and the activity is more on Halloween. If there's Halloweens that we aren't doing a public hunt, we're investigating privately. So we are absolutely working Halloween.
But this was a really interesting conversation. You've given me a lot to think about today.
And I enjoyed talking to you, too. It was a great session.
This was great. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And that wraps up our conversation with Shelley Robertson, owner of the Old Paulding Jail. Find them on Facebook by searching 187PI. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial-free, then you could become a Gravekeeper. You could sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.